Today I'm going to catch up with Ned Lubarecki and Becky Bullard. Ned has joined up with Becky Bullard's band, and they happen to be traveling between gigs. And we're going to triangulate and GPS them and get the satellites zeroed in as they're traveling down the road. And we're going to talk to them on the way. Hopefully everything will be just fine on the road, no traffic problems. If that doesn't work, I've got their cell phone number. So stick around the second hour. We're going to talk to Ned about a lot of things, Becky Buller about the band, all the exciting news that's going on in their lives and the music with B3, if you want to call Becky Buller Band with all the B's, or B-cubed, or B to the third power. Either way, it's great music. I think if we've done everything correctly, I might have Ned Lubarecki on the phone, and right near him is Becky Buller. Can you guys hear me?
Hello, Steve Martin. We're having an unreal time.
We are. It's all... Hi, Becky. See, now, I just figured I'd see you at our meeting in Nashville on the first weekend of June, and I will still see you then, but this is great that we can talk a little bit before that and get ready for that two grueling days, just in case anybody thinks that being a board member of IBMA is just all fun and congressional parties, and it's hard work. It's all day, and fortunately, there's nice people on the board, so we don't hate each other at the end of the day.
A little bit.
Ned Lubarecki, my friend, I always refer to you as the hardest working man in show business. And all deference to James Brown, he's not around anymore, so I think that's you at this point in your career.
I'll accept that title. I don't believe it to be true, but, you know, if it makes me any money, I'm all about it.
Ned is a banjo player, one of my favorite players, one of my favorite people.
Go on.
I'm trying. I'm running out of superlatives. He's always ready to play and pick and go. He travels the world, takes his banjo. Have banjo, will travel is the card of a man. There's another old illusion for us old 60s TV watchers. And you have recently, I want to talk about you joining the Becky Buller Band, which is a fine opportunity for all of you. And but Ned, I haven't talked to you since you put out some instructional books, and I want to give you a chance to talk about those. You're always giving lessons. Ned is the best on the radio at XM Radio with his bluegrass show and his banjo show and all that. But let's talk a little bit, Ned, if you have a minute, to talk about the instruction booklets books that came out. I guess it was 2015.
No, they actually just came out in January of this year. I worked all year last year on them, so you probably heard me complaining about all the writing I had to do. But they were actually just the January of this year, so they're still fresh. They're still hot off the press. But it's a three-part series for Alfred Music Publication Company, and probably anybody that's ever taken a musical instrument course in school, like school band instruments or even piano lessons, Alfred is one of the largest music publishing companies actually in the world. But they also have what they call musical instrument division, oddly enough, which is, you know, guitar and bass, things like that. And so they approached me about writing their banjo method, and it's their five-string banjo method. Three books. The first one is beginning book, then there's intermediate, and then finally mastering banjo. They all have video that goes with them. I played everything in all three books. And, it's one of those things where for a really long time, you know, that I've been teaching banjo for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to kind of put all the thoughts of all those years of teaching into something coherent on paper. But I'm pretty proud of it. I mean, it took me a long time to get it done. I had a really good editor at Alfred and company that organized the thought. She could keep it in some sort of sensible order. And I'm proud of the product. I think they turned out pretty well.
Ned, you and I have a lot of mutual friends that write instructional books, and it just every time I talk to one of them at the end of it, it's like, yes, it's a wonderful effort, and they're very proud of it. It always seems to be such a difficult task, or more difficult even than those who have written books before, to put it together again. And I think maybe that's what you're hinting at, is going back all the lessons and instructional information that you have available, then try to put it in a method and break it down into three different levels. It must be kind of a really exhausting process.
Well, it's one thing to teach. And, of course, teaching one-on-one is what I've been doing most of for a long time. And in that, you're having a one-on-one conversation with somebody. You're saying, here's how you can do this. No, don't do it like that. Do it like this. Okay, let me help you with that. And it, you know, there's definite methods written to it. When you teach in a class, it's something a little bit different where you have to kind of generalize things, keep everybody kind of going at the same level. But then when it comes to writing all that information down, now you have to take for granted that, that everybody, you know, knows what the thing is that you just referred to before. You know, keep everything pedagogical that way so that they, you know, you don't jump ahead of the part of the method, you know. It's just the organizational part of it, the challenge for me, just because I've never really done anything like that before.
It also,
like I said, my editor was really good at helping me keep things in line.
It also may help, I would assume that it helps you as the artist and performer to go back and kind of re-examine things that you do as a player and a professional, because now you have to think about terms of making those relate to people who might want to learn, but it also probably helps you refresh, I would think, I don't know, but I would think that it would help you refresh your own, I know you practice a lot and you play all the time, but there has to be some benefit to you as a player, don't you think, or am I just way off on that?
Oh, definitely, and it's, you know, one of the things about teaching in general is when the more you teach, it does make you go back and examine the basics and learn how to do them right, because you want to make sure that you're teaching them correctly so that you teach people without having any bad habits. So it does a lot for your playing. The other thing that was really difficult about writing on the board, or at least to me, was coming up with an approach for all three first methods. You know, the beginner method is like you'd expect, you know, start beginners off with the basics. How do you make a C chord? How do you play a forward roll? You know, there's just so many ways you can approach that. But I did try to get, you know, some of what I try to do as a teacher and focus on learning how to play things by the melody. You know, figure out how to work the melody of the song out and make that into an arrangement. Then for the intermediate course, I thought, what does an intermediate player really need to learn how to do? Really, they need to learn how to jam. They need to learn how to put things together so that they can think of stuff on the fly and play along, because that's when it really gets fun. And then for the advanced mastering method, I took the approach of thinking, you know, the five-string banjo nowadays is becoming more and more accepted in other kinds of music. You know, there are players, certainly like Tony Trischka and Baylor Black and Dalton Kelly, who could sit in with almost any kind of musical genre and be able to hold their own. And so the banjo is generally not taught like a saxophone or a violin or a piano is taught. And so people don't learn a lot about theory. Or, you know, here's how you play from a group, right? So I went and tried to expose banjo players into how chords are built, constructed, how scales go together, how you use certain scales, both in single string and melodic style, to achieve certain goals. And, you know, the hope was to give banjo players a footing, you know, like other musicians would have, to be able to speak the language. My fingers are crossed. I hope that's what I did.
Does each book build on the other? In other words, if you purchase the intermediate, is that assuming that you know what's in the first one already? There's got to be some overflow, I would think. I mean, you just can't pick one up cold and know everything from the first, don't you think?
I think so. I think the intermediate, once anybody knows enough to, they know how to maybe reestablish it, they know how to understand three chord progression, and they know a simple banjo songs, you know, they do that. The intermediate would be a good jumping off place. If you already know the basics, then you could probably skip the beginner. But definitely, intermediate suits that you know how to do a few things like that. And the advanced is for anybody that's already sort of jam ready and just wants to learn really more about some advanced technique and really some music theory applied to the banjo. You can really apply it
Do let me ask you this. First of all, I have not picked up the book yet. I'll find it at some point. But is that you on the cover?
No, it is. It is a Stevie Ray Vaughan impersonator.
That's what I thought. It was Stevie Ray. I thought it was Stevie Ray Lou Bereke when I saw it.
It's Stevie Ray Sprung.
I thought it was Frank Zappa.
Or Frank Zappa. That could be.
Ray Zappa.
Frankie raised that. All right. I thought, well, that's nice. Ned let them take, they had the choice on the cover art, and you graciously stepped aside.
I was not consulted.
It's exciting. I really can't wait to see it because like I said, you've mentioned some of the names that you and I both know that have produced books, and there's so many different ways of doing it. And of course, I'm assuming like I did, Ned, and maybe you had the Earl Scruggs book. That was the first thing that I stumbled across when I was learning back in the, you know, back in the halcyon days of the early 70s. But everybody has, and we still have that wonderful voice of Earl telling us how to tune up the banjo. And just,
oh, yeah, and the track on the record where he said, boogie, boogie.
Boogie, boogie, right.
That's one of my favorite pieces of recorded history ever.
It is. I think it should be in the Hall of Fame of recordings.
Oh, definitely. Earl Croak saying boogie, boogie. Boogie. Can't be.
Listen, let's talk about, and I know that you made the move. I don't remember when you moved over to playing with the Becky Buller Band, which I, Becky, if you're listening, I sometimes refer to it as B cubed or B to the third power. What?
The third power.
B to the third power. Like B cubed sounds like the bad line to be in if you're at a slaughterhouse and you're going to B cubed, go into this line. Stay away from that.
I thought cube steak.
That's
DQ,
yeah.
Sounds like DQ, which sounds like ice cream to me and making me hungry.
Okay, I'm sorry. Then when did you join and start? I've always seen you. You've always been around, and if I'm in Nashville and Becky was around, you would join in. But when did you decide to go ahead and join with Becky's band?
I haven't completely decided yet. So, last year I was really lucky enough to be able to do both. I've been playing with Chris Jones and the Night Drivers for 13 years. And last year I was able to do most of the gigs that Becky had booked, really. And was just had a blast doing both. And toward the end of last year, Becky knew she was booking for this year, and I was sort of always on loan in that situation.
Right.
So Becky was asking me, if I could help her find my replacement. And I kept coming up with different names, thinking of different people who might be able to do it. Every time somebody came to mind, I just kept thinking, well, I don't want them to have the gig. I want to have the gig. And so finally I thought about it, and I thought, well, I guess if I really want to have the gig, I should tell Becky. And so we talked about it. I made the decision really kind of officially at the very end of last year. So beginning of this year is when it became official.
Well, let me just say this, knowing, it's not like we're best buddies, but I think I know, certainly Ned, I know you well. Becky, I've gotten to know you a lot over the last year with our board activities, but I would say this, I bet you're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have to say that straight here.
Okay, well, all right.
We've been it really has been a great time. We've got a great crew to travel with.
Bunch of loonies.
Kinda,
yeah.
That's odd for a bluegrass band, Becky, that there would be loonies in the band. Ned, I want to finish up with you for a bit, and then I want to talk to Becky. But who else is in the band so that we make sure we get all the names straight?
Well, riding shotgun currently, we've got Branch Bostic, who plays the left-handed guitar and the dobro. We've got Professor Dan Boner, who is actually the director of the Country, Bluegrass, and Old-Time Music Program at ETSU. And Dan is playing mandolin and fiddle with us, but Dan is I haven't really seen an instrument that he can't play. He kind of do anything, so he's been a pretty useful guy. And we've got Daniel Harden playing the bass, Hulk Smash, and we've got our sound guy along with us here too, CJ Constantopoulos. Mm-hmm. And that was the voice of Carmen, the Garmin GPS.
Are you getting off of the expressway now? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, we just pulled into a rest area here, so okay. You hear the sound of peeing in the background. I mean, just so you'd have less engine noise.
All right, I got you. All right. This is good. And then it feels like it's been forever. Well, I haven't seen you, I guess, I don't know how long, but I was so used to seeing you every year and running up across you somewhere and somehow. But I'm thrilled to get a chance.
I guess I didn't make it to the Nash Camp banjo.
That's right.
Last year I was booked out of the country and mm-hmm. wasn't able to make it. So mm-hmm. yeah, I haven't seen you since probably the last one or two of those.
It's been a while. Becky, the last time I saw you, if we can direct attention to Becky Buller, who's been so nice and quiet and just in the background. The last time I saw you, you had like a wheelbarrow full of awards from the IBMA awards.
I was going to say, a wheelbarrow full of what? I'm here at yard sale with me everywhere I go.
Well, that was such a fun night, and there were so many great, you just, it was like, here's what I took from that. this was, and maybe it's because you said it, you know, it's kind of like I'm back. It's kind of like, not that you were gone, but now I'm back and I'm writing. And it was like a Sally Field moment that you like me, you really like me. And people just kept giving you awards.
They liked me.
That's right.
It was, I still have to go down to my music room every so often and just look at the cabinet there where I have those awards sitting and kind of pinch myself. Okay, yeah, they really are there. This really did happen. Oh, my God. So it's very unreal.
It is unreal. See, and the word carries so much meaning. And then I have to add, and you actually made a comment about to Romy that Mommy's coming home. How is Romy? I want to talk about the band, but first I want to know, where's Romy and how is Romy?
Well, Romy is camping this weekend with Aunt Shuey and Uncle Timmy. That's my sister-in-law, Susie George. And actually, Jeff, is my husband, is probably on his way over to meet them right now around Smithville, Tennessee. And so they're going to hang out there, and then Jeff and Romy will go home tonight. And of course, the band and I are headed on to Dollywood for tomorrow afternoon, and then we head home. But Romy's doing really great. She's 3 years now, she's talking and singing, and her favorite song is the Wonder Woman theme song right now, and she knows just about every word of it, and it's kind of scary.
So you guys, Annette, you guys are headed, you're on the road from someplace to someplace, and tell me where that is, because I'm not sure.
We just played yesterday at the Gettysburg Bluegrass Festival, Gettysburg, okay. Pennsylvania,
okay.
which was a big thrill for me. That was growing up around Baltimore. Gettysburg Festival is just a couple hours away from Baltimore, and was one of the first really sort of big bluegrass festivals that I ever used to go to when I was 14, 15 years old. And I can remember seeing Del McCurry with the Dixie Pals back then, and of course the Seldom Seen, the Johnson Mountain Boys, bands like that, Country Gentlemen. And so it was really kind of like old home to me. I saw a bunch of old friends there. Got to have a crab cake for lunch today on our way home. Another nice Maryland, Pennsylvania thing you get to do. And then we are on our way, or tomorrow, as Becky just mentioned, we're playing at Dollywood.
Yeah.
Part of their Bluegrass Barbecue Week.
Becky, I know that you've been busy since, not to rest on your laurels already. I know you've been busy writing. I know you're always doing songwriting, not classes, but, you know, workshop type things. And I'm just guessing that you have a lot of new material that you've written long after the last album was put out. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm always writing something. It's a little harder to find time to write now with being a band leader and a mama and a teacher and everything else that I do. So I'm trying to figure out new and creative ways to keep myself going. I've got actually just booked a co-writing date with April Birch. I'm really excited about that. And I have several songs out there I need to get back with folks to finish. And including Eric Gibson and Don Kenny and I'll hang a lyric sheet on the hood of my stove, and I'll walk past it as I'm washing dishes or I'm cleaning the house. I just, you know, our house kind of goes in a big circle. So, go through the kitchen into the living room, come around, right back around. And as I'm going, making my circuit, you know, I'll be thinking about lyrics and I'll grab that sheet of paper, write something down, tape it back up there and go about my business. And, you know, that helps me to have it right out there in the open where I can look at it, as opposed to my notebook, which is where I end up putting it.
Becky, would you?
But booking a co-writing session is really important for me, because it gets me in that headspace. And usually on the way home from a co-write session, I'll be working on something on my own as well. But I'm really excited. I just finished the song.
With me.
Wow.
Yes, and I wrote a song. I'm excited about that one too, and we need to get it demoed up and out there. It's kind of a fast, murder mayhem minor key song, and I am excited about that one. But the one that I finished this week was, I started it 15 years ago, driving through the Allegheny Mountains.
It's gonna be a long song.
Yeah, it was a long time, and it needed some research, because I wanted it to be historically accurate. And when we got booked at the Gettysburg Festival, I made it my goal to finish the song before we got to Gettysburg so I could sing it. And I finished it on Monday.
Oh, good. Okay. Hey, Becky, would you do me one favor? When you go back to your kitchen, would you hang that piece of paper on the refrigerator and not on the stove?
I know. Well, it is not on the stove. It's
okay.
It's above the stove.
Above the stove. Well, since we all know that... since
in the soup, you know, and it gets a little chili flavor. It's
like... Plus, if I hang it on the fridge, Romy might, I don't know, she might get a hold of it.
Okay, all right. Yeah, there's no way she would want to climb up on the stove to get a piece of paper.
My daughter ate my homework.
Yeah, that's right.
The song I finished this week, it's called My Allegheny Mountain Home, and it's about a drummer boy that's in the 11th Pennsylvanian Division unit. I'm not sure what the exact words would be for that, but anyway, he dies at Gettysburg.
The feel good hit of the summer.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. Anyway, but I'm so glad to have that one done and out of my head now, and I really like the way it turned out. So that's pretty fun. And yeah, we did a songwriting banjo workshop. Banjo songwriting workshop at Gettysburg. That was interesting.
Was Ned? Were you involved in it?
It was kind of chaos. It was an interesting mashup. I've never done that before, but you know, we fielded banjo questions and songwriting questions and songs about. I mean, questions about writing songs on your banjo or with your banjo.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, it just sounds to me like you guys are having too much fun, even just to be in the car driving around. I just think that anyone that would go find you, and I assume, Becky, your tour schedule and a lot of the information that we're talking about is probably on a website. Everybody's got one. I assume you have one, correct?
Yes, it's at BeckyBuller.com. Buller is spelled B as in boy, ULLER, BeckyBuller.com. I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and so you can find me pretty easily online. And yes, we have our entire tour schedule there. We're headed to Dollywood this weekend. We go to Kendallville, Indiana for the Tri-State Bluegrass Festival.
Oh, cool.
Over Memorial weekend, we'll be at Bean Blossom for the 50th anniversary. We're going to be at Bonnaroo. Where else are we going to be? We're going to be at Bristol. We're going to be in Roots, Dumplin' Valley. We'll be in Quebec over Labor Day weekend. We've got a lot going on. We'll be in Kentucky too, Vine Grove, Kentucky.
Okay.
I believe that's the 23rd of September. So it's a little ways out, but hopefully some of your listeners join us.
They can do that. They can do that.
And the IBMA World of Bluegrass. We're going to be there.
That's right.
Yeah. You didn't hear it from us because it's not official yet.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
But we'll be there. Oh, yes.
Ned, if someone could spell your last name, they could find your website, too, and find out about these books and what you're up to and all your lessons and things you're doing, correct?
But it's easier than that, Steve. They can also just get there from nedsky.com, nedsky.com.
Thank you very much, Ned Lubricki. I love the radio. When he clicks into the radio voice, and I bet he does it often.
Right. If you answer before midnight tonight, you also get this fabulous set of Kintsu cooking knives.
Becky, do you let him sing backwards on stage, or is there no way to prevent it?
He's been known to do that. He also sings Cabin of Death.
That's
a big hit.
It is a huge hit. It's one of those ones that just, you know, it's a little bit of everything for everybody. That's all. So,
yeah. I like to call it a nevergreen.
Nevergreen. Right. Well, you guys.
It's like an evergreen, but it just never quite got there.
All right. Well, I miss you guys. I'll see at least one of you, Becky, I guess, in a couple weeks in Nashville when we gnash our teeth in Nashville on all these pressing issues for the IBMA board, which I will say this, and I'm kind of new to the game, and Ned, you know this thing too. The people on this board take their job very seriously, and we work very hard at what we're doing, and I think good intentions are coming from these gatherings. That's just me as a short-termer, though. I think I'm accurate.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you. We've got a really good team of folks that are looking out for the welfare of bluegrass music and the bluegrass world, and I'm just trying to up our profile out there and up opportunities for bluegrass musicians everywhere. And if folks have never been to the World of Bluegrass in Raleigh, North Carolina, the last week of September, you really need to come out for it, especially if you're a professional within the industry. There'll be all sorts of ways to panels and seminars to help you up your game and what you're doing, and lots of great music, of course. And then the Wide Open Bluegrass Festival is on the weekend, and that's quite the party.
It's pretty amazing. It's like Disney World. If you've never been, it's like going to Disney World. except for bluegrass.
A lot more banjos.
There's a little more banjos. That's true. A little more banjos. That's right. You're right,
and
Ned.
And fewer mics.
That's right. All right. Listen, I'm going to let you guys get back on the road. Finish your rest up. Be safe driving. Put on a good show. I know that you will. And we'll talk again down the road. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Good talking to you.
All right, bud. I'll catch up with you later. Becky, I'll see you soon.
Bluegrass music on the air.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Sue. See ya. There we go. That was fun. It's always interesting when you can catch someone on the road. You're never quite sure of where they are or what mountain range they're hearing and what kind of traffic there is. And that worked out well. When they pulled off, it got a little clearer, but you certainly got the content from what the Becky Buller Band is up to and what Ned Lubarecki is up to. And trust me, those are two of the quality individuals, not just talented musicians, which they are, and songwriters, which they are. They're just good people to be around. And I will say that not everybody in the industry is always a good person to be around, but those two are two of the best. I'm always happy to catch up to them. Here on Unreal Bluegrass, we're going to continue on with music. We have about an hour and a half left to go on this program. Thanks again, Ned Lubarecki, Becky Buller of the Becky Buller Band.